Well, good evening, everyone. If you would stand and grab a hymn book, let's start our services off tonight by turning to page 96. 96, Bring Them In. Let's sing all three verses.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. We'll go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. We'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Tis the Master speaks to thee, go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
We'll turn a couple pages over to page 98, please, and we'll sing Go Ye Into All the World.
Amen. Far, far away, in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go? Salvation story telling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. All power is given unto me, all power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and know I am with you always.
On the last,
God speed the day when those of every nation, glory to God, triumphantly shall sing, ransomed, redeemed, rejoicing in salvation, shout hallelujah, for the Lord is King. All power is given unto me, all power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always.
Good singing.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. It's good to see you tonight. I'm grateful and thankful for God's mercy to us. Boy, missions conference, it's... We're planning and planning and get ready and try to get do this, do that. And then, somebody was asking me yesterday, are you all ready? And I said, well, we're at the place, we're just going with it now. Just have fun and relax. And if we forgot something, well, sorry. What else can we say? It's good to be here tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we bow before you tonight, thanking you for our Savior. We understand that it is because of Him and only because of Him that we are in this place tonight for this reason. Father, we ask you that from this very, very beginning to the end of this conference, that everything, every message, every song, every prayer, every portion of any offering would all be for your glory and for your glory only. We pray that you would direct and lead, help, Father, as we We seek to honor you with, again, with everything that would go on. We don't want to be untoward or in any way out of line with what you would order in these days. Please, Lord, bless every missionary, bless every speaker as they step behind this holy desk. And Father, I pray that you would open every heart, every member of this church, all those that are visiting. Might we, even for being here tonight, have our passion for souls enlarged. And again, would you get glory in every bit of it? In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, you may be seated. As we begin tonight, I'd just like to pass on a couple prayer requests. I was talking with Tammy Barrera just a little bit ago, and they have finally diagnosed her mother with leukemia. And, of course, she's been, that's Cheryl Ackley, and she's been so sick and dealing with so many things over the last several years. And this, again, is a major, major issue for her to deal with. In fact, as I understand it, they are going to begin the treatment even this evening, put her on some of the medication that she needs to be put on. And with that, they don't know exactly how her body will react to it. Some handle it, some don't. So please, please be in prayer. They covet your prayers for Cheryl Ackley and, of course, Tammy. Pray for Tammy. We was there yesterday, and Tammy spent the day with her mother. And you know the trouble that, you know, Tammy's back is just terrible. And she was going, that was planning to come here tonight, but because of the developments with her mother, is going to the hospital and will probably end up spending the night there at the hospital. So Tammy really needs your prayers as well, just physically, spiritually, and emotionally as they deal with all that. Arnold Stowe got home from the hospital, I believe it was yesterday, and we're thankful for that. But please continue to pray for him. A lot of other things going on. We're excited about the days of conference this week and looking forward. Even as we said Sunday, I trust that with every message, with every missionary presentation, that our hearts would be challenged and in many ways inspired, praying that God would be pleased to stir in hearts young and old. For the cause of Christ and what we as a church and as individuals can do for the to see the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, I was to announce that the ladies that will be, I mean, we go from the, you know, from the spiritual and sublime to the shopping on Saturday. I'm to pass on that missionary wives and our ladies that want to go shopping on Saturday to meet here at the church at 8:30. Okay, I got a nod on it, so I guess that's okay. But the men and those that are spiritual, somebody, guys, you guys are supposed to say amen. We will be at this point. We are planning to pack the Martin's container. The container is supposed to be delivered Friday, so we're counting on the opportunity to get that loaded. Sandra McVeigh is counting on us getting the gym empty so we can all have a place to sit down to eat on Sunday. And so again, we're excited about that. Tuesday, what time's the flight? Tuesday at 4 in the afternoon, of course, it's international flight, so they have to be there early. So they will be leaving for Argentina. Man, it seems like about as long as I've known David, he's been, not quite that long. Getting ready for Argentina. No, we're not at all that. But we are so thankful that the God has brought them to this place. And guys, if you're able to come and help, we're going to try to get busy with that about 9 a.m. on Saturday. So please be mindful of that. Be, of course, also aware that Sunday is Faith Promise Sunday. And hopefully you have been praying about your Faith Promise and what God wants you to do concerning Faith Promise for the coming year. I start praying, man, it's not too long after Missions Conference for this year, I'll be starting to pray about next year. I'm honest as can be, because I want to be in tune with what God wants me and my family to do. All right. Well, that's enough of that. All that. We are privileged to have several missionaries that are here, both reporting back on furlough, but also some that are new to us at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And one of those families is the Bishop family, and they're going to the Philippines. And not just to the Philippines, but they're going to a Muslim area of the Philippines on Mindanao. And so I'm anxious to hear from them and what the burden that the Lord has laid on their heart. And I'm going to have Brother Bishop come introduce his presentation. And you come, brother. Introduce your family as well, if you would.
Well, it is a privilege to be here, and we are thankful to be here. And I can tell you have a missions-hearted church. I've learned not to say missions-minded, missions-hearted. And I believe that is the heart of God. And we are the Bishop family. My name is Dwight. I have my wife of 26 years, Renee, and our 13-year-old son, Heath, with us. My 17-year-old daughter is currently living with my mom in Glen Rose, Texas. And so, but we're glad to be here tonight. Just to give you a little bit of information about myself, we're all native Texans. And back in 2009, we had an opportunity to go to the Philippines. And Brother Paul, I have him on my video, and he'll explain a little bit more about, but I'll go a little bit more in depth. We traveled to the Philippines for the first time in 2009 on a mission trip. And it was one of those things we knew the Lord was going to have to work it out, or we weren't going to be able to go, and He did that. He worked it out so that we could go. We went to Luzon around Manila. We were in the Manila area. And, we fell in love with Filipino people. And we in 2005, the Lord led us to visit Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City. And our pastor at that time in Granbury, Texas, I told him the Lord was leading us to go to Bible college, and he recommended that we visit Heartland. And so we did, and we knew right away that eventually we would be there. We didn't know when. Some things had to happen, and my wife was an only child, and her parents' health began to fail, and so the last couple of years they lived, she was their caregiver, pretty much. And so we had to wait on that, and my wife honored her parents, which is right. And so then in 2010, we were able to move to Oklahoma City. And I attended Heartland Baptist Bible College full time for 4 years. My wife took some classes. She was homeschooling also, so she wasn't able to go full time, but I was. And it was during one of her missions classes, I believe it was the ladies' missions practicum, I believe that's what it was, and she had to do a joint paper with another young lady in the class, and it was all ladies' class, and so she chose, or they chose Mindanao, because that's the direction the Lord seemed to be leading us. And through that, we noticed that you have, I'm assuming y'all support Wayne and Donna Wally. Well, through that paper, she came in contact with Miss Donna Wally and began to talk to her a little bit. And, of course, all this was via text and some things. And so Miss Wally was very candid with her, and I'm glad she was. And she, one of the things she told my wife was, this is no easy place to be talking about Mindanao. And she was very candid, and she said, over the years, we've seen missionaries come, and we've seen missionaries go, more so go than come. And no offense to the ladies here, but she was straightforward, and she told my wife, she said, the main reason they leave is because the wife simply cannot take it there. And so the wife becomes unhappy, and eventually the ministry begins to suffer, and they leave. And she said, that happens constantly. It's constant. And, you know, so we, to be honest with you, we didn't, in 2009, we didn't really think much about Mindanao. I asked about it when we were there. I met some people from Mindanao, and the pastor I was with, he basically told me, he said, don't go down there. He said, you're an American, and he said, there's just some areas down there that would not be safe. And so I just kind of thought, well, I don't want to go there then. And I just dismissed it, really. Well, then I started Bible college in 2010, and the Lord that first semester began to work on my heart about Muslim people, about reaching Muslims. And then in 2011 at the missions conference at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, that was the it was on a Tuesday morning, and the Lord let me know that He was calling us to go to the island of Mindanao to minister primarily to Muslims, not strictly, because there are a lot of the majority of Filipinos would say they're Catholic, even on Mindanao. Islam makes up the majority minority, if that makes sense. And so there's a lot of other people there, and we'll minister to whoever we can, but our specific calling is to Muslim people. And there's approximately 5 million that live there that call that island home. But what I understand, Islam made its way there about 600 years ago when Arab traders came up from the south through modern-day Indonesia. And they introduced it to the Filipinos there on Mindanao, and it took. And so they're there. They're there, and it's been in the news quite a bit. You know, there's been a lot going on over there, and ISIS is trying to make a presence there, and so, but I have people all the time ask me, are you afraid to go there? Well, my answer is this. I believe that you're bulletproof as long as you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, how God wants you to do it, and where God wants you to do it until God says otherwise. So that's my answer. That's my answer. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And so, anyway, I hope the video was a blessing. Brother Paul will give a little bit, talk a little bit more about my testimony. So we are glad to be here. And I hope that it's a blessing. Y'all have certainly already been a blessing to us. You have a very friendly church here, and you ought to be proud of your people. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Imagine you are one of the 2.8 billion Muslims in the world today. Because of atrocities committed by radical Muslim factions, you are feared and hated by many in the world today. Now imagine, you are one of over 5 million Muslims living in Mindanao. Missionaries who could bring you hope for eternity through the gospel of Christ are discouraged from coming to your island. Many missionaries who come don't stay. National pastors who live there are hesitant to share Christ with you because they are afraid of retaliation by your relatives and other Muslims in your village.
I'm Pastor Rinaldo Subrabas. I'm a pastor here in Tubod, Lanao del Norte. It is a Muslim province. We became in the situation that our family is in danger about the Muslim attacks. Sometimes they will go to the church and they don't want that their loved ones, their relatives, that we reach them in Christ.
The Philippines' new president is also from Mindanao. He promises hope for a better life, but even he can do nothing to give you hope for a secure eternity. There is a need.
But for me, it is good for some, like the American missionaries that have what we call a, for me, we call it a special calling, because as a Filipino pastor, I'm afraid to work with a Muslim. But I think there are lots of Muslims that are waiting for the gospel.
We are the Bishop family, Dwight, Renee, Kelsey, and Heath. We are sent out under the authority of Central Baptist Church in Denton, Texas, where we have completed a one-year missions internship under the leadership of Pastor Paul Shelton.
Hello, my name is Pastor Shelton of Central Baptist Church. It's been my privilege over the last 10 years to be the pastor of Brother Dwight and Ms. Renee Bishop. In 2009, the bishops accompanied me to the Philippines on a mission trip. Shortly after that, Brother Dwight came to me and told me that the Lord was burdening his heart about the field of missions. In 2010, he and his family moved to Oklahoma City, where they attended the Heartland Baptist Bible College. He graduated in 2014 and feels the Lord's call on his heart to the island of Mindanao in the nation of the Philippines. Brother Dwight feels the Lord has called him to deal with the Muslim tribes on this island. I hope you will join with us and prayerfully consider helping us in supporting the Bishop family so that they can make their way to the Philippines and do what the Lord has called them to do. The bishops have served in almost every ministry of the church. They are faithful, and they will do a good job on the field, given the opportunity. Join with us. Partner with us. Thank you.
We understand the cost of ministering to Muslims in Mindanao may be great, but it is no greater than the cost a Muslim in Mindanao pays when they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Because when the Muslim will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he faces a great persecution about their relatives, want to use the force, sometimes they want to kill them, and they need to leave their place, their home, because of the persecution.
Our goals are to learn the language and immerse ourselves in the culture, plant independent Baptist churches, build genuine personal relationships, and share the gospel of Christ, see people saved and baptized, and disciple new believers, see them get a burden for Muslims worldwide, and train national pastors.
Just look around you, can't you see their lonely faces, lost in the world today, waiting for someone to fill their empty space. Lord, whatever the call, give me a vision for the you did there on that cross. Help me to be the light and show them to your mercy. Whatever the cost, give me a vision for the facing daily, can't you see? We're so here to tell them of God's mercy and grace, waiting to pour down when a sinner has faith. Lord, whatever the cost, give me a vision for the lost.
If you would please stand once more, let's turn to 466. 466.
Preacher forgets to take up the offering. So, gentlemen, whoever's going to be receiving our offering, you guys can get ready. You know, we was watching the video presentation a few minutes ago, and we all have some ideas about what we think about Islam and Muslims in general. But one thing I tried to focus on in that video was the eyes of those folks. When you focus on their eyes, guess what? You see the same thing and the same needs in those eyes as anyone else's eyes. And they're blinded in false religion and in need to hear of Christ, need to be shared the great gospel, the hope-giving. Excuse me. Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so very thankful, Brother Bishop, for you sharing your presentation this evening. And I'll make it yet. Don't you laugh at me. In the Welcome Center in the back are our new directories, our 2017 directory. So, church family, avail yourself of those. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on our offering, maybe. Who was laughing at me? Andrew, was you laughing at me? You weren't? Are you sure? Well, I was thinking you ought to come and pray for the offering.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask that Brother Turner or Brother Bruce will have the words that you want him to say, Lord, and help us to support our missionaries and their ministries throughout the world. We ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
My life more dear to me than what he would have me be? Would I gladly lay aside each dream I hold? Could I count my gain as loss and take up my given cross? Am I willing to be spent for Christ my Lord? Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, yet forever flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. It may cost me suffering in the service of my King. It may be a lonely path I have to trod. But to deeply know my Lord will be my great reward. I will gladly give my all. I've counted the cost. Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God. Death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God. Death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul?
Trying some new wireless microphones today. See if they're going to be working. You know, we're always trying to get something better here, but it seems like we always have the problem of getting it all worked out. But anyway, my privilege tonight to be discussing and talking to you about our involvement in missions and seeing what God is doing for us and how we can serve the Lord even better. I was just reflecting a few moments ago that Our church this year celebrates 96 years of existence. It's a long time. You don't find too many churches that are that old. But I came here to Metropolitan 38 years ago. And at that time, Brother Hugh Atkinson was the pastor, and he had not introduced too many years before, about 5 or 6 years earlier, the fact of using Faith Promise Missions. You're getting me there? Okay. Using Faith Promise Missions, and things were beginning to get going when I arrived here in 1979. And I've been able to see that the Lord has done a lot of things since then. I thank the Lord how He has opened a lot of doors. A lot of things have been happening. I can say that I'm the one that's been here now the longest as a sponsored missionary. I never thought that it'd be 38 years that I'd be with Metropolitan Baptist Church as a sponsored missionary when we first started, Provi and I. And we've seen a lot of things happen since then. And I thank the Lord that now the church is got one of the greatest amount of supported and sponsored missionaries that we've ever had. And we continue to go on with that, as Brother Bishop mentioned a while ago, being a mission-hearted church. And not only am I very pleased to say that we've got most, I think just one of our missionaries is not here. And he's up in Idaho, serving the Lord up there. But the rest of us are here. That's not normal for our church to have everyone here for the missions conference. And in fact, starting Monday, we're going to all be heading our different ways. I'll be going down to Mexico. Dave will be heading out Tuesday for Argentina. You're not going to see this again for a while. But don't forget us. That's one of the things we always want you to remember. And a lot of times when we're gone for a long while, things begin to wander. And of course, we've got new members coming in, things like that. And I know that now that Brother Penny and Miss Robin are here with us, one of the important things is that they're reestablishing their relationship with their home church. Getting to know some of the new members, seeing what's happening. And I know some of you, Brother Bruce Morris has come back home now after a long while back. There's a lot of things he needs to see again. It's an important thing, Fertile. People think, well, I'd rather be on the field ministering. Well, God gives us missionaries a lot of other places to minister also. But not only do we have the missionaries here that are out of our church, but also the ones that are visiting us. Like Brother Moore, who we already support, others who are on deputation to go to the field. We even have missionary candidates among us. People that have surrendered their lives to become missionaries one day, and we're training them. So there's a lot of things being done. And I can say that our church has been involved in all of those things. And I praise the Lord. And like has been said, our desire and our prayer is that the sun will never set on our ministry wherever we're working around the world. And we can say that the Lord has allowed that. So you please go back there to the Welcome Center and get this year's mission directory. And you need to be using that. There's a reason for that. We spend a lot of money to get that prepared. And the reason is you need to take it home and be praying for those missionaries. You say, well, I don't know who they are. Well, you know how you get to know somebody? By praying for them. When you pray for somebody, you have a burden for them. And you get to know them better. And then when you hear a report, and of course we have, they're on the back wall there. We have another place over there in the hallway by the gym. Another place where we post our letters. We've been praying for them. You're going to want to know what's going on and read their reports and things like that. But there's one thing that concerns me sometimes. And I see this throughout all of our churches in America and other places. And that is this concept that, well, the missionaries, they're special. Preachers are special. They've received a special calling that no one else has. And I'm seeing some of the missionaries sitting there saying, no, that's not true. Because really, my message is not so much to the missionaries, it's to those of us from Metropolitan that are here, about what is really God doing in your life. What is He talking to you about? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, we find a statement here about who we are. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a term that is being used here to refer to all those that have accepted Him. And it's a very unusual term that we think is only reserved for someone, as we've heard tonight, with the bishop and his calling to the mission field. And we think, well, that's a special call that he got. I'll never have that kind of a call. When in reality, every single person on this earth has a call. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Do you realize that God wanted to call you before the world even began? He knew that you were going to be born. He knew that you would live the life on this earth. He even knew the things you were going to be going through. And before He even created this earth, He already planned to call you. Now, a lot of times we think, well, that's a special thing. That's just for special people. Actually, God has been calling people from the very beginning. There in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, we find that Adam and Eve had sinned. And on the day that they sinned, the Lord came down to the garden as He was wont to do and sit down and talk with them. But they'd hidden themselves. They didn't want to see His face. They were embarrassed. They knew that they'd done something wrong. And here it says, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, whenever the Lord asks a question, it's what we call a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question means He doesn't need the answer because He already has it. When He asks the question, He's trying to bring your attention to something in your life. And here His calling is a question. Where are you? In fact, that could be the very same question that He could ask us today. Where are you? Where are you in the plan that God has for your life? What are you really doing? In this case, Adam and Eve were hiding from Him. Some of us sometimes are trying to hide from God. Jonah tried that. He found out that spending 3 days in the belly of a fish was not that nice. You can't hide from God. Adam and Eve, they thought they were hiding, but God knew exactly where they were at. He knew what was going on. He knew about their sin. And He still called them. He wants to call every man, woman, and child on this earth today. A moment ago, we saw in the video presentation about the Philippines, they use a lot of faces. You saw a lot of people. Pastor was referring to their eyes. But think about this. God has a call for every one of those persons that you saw in there. The children, the women, the young people that were so haughty, that acting so cool, the elderly, those that didn't seem to have much hope in their eyes, those that were bright, all of them have a call on their life from God. When we study the Word of God, there are three types of calls that God makes to man. And when I explain these types of calls, you're going to understand what I mean by every one of us is called of God. First of all, we have what we call the call of salvation. God calls every man to salvation. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 24, here the Word of God refers to those who have accepted that, who are saved as being called. Now, I know that some people try to interpret these types of calls, and they might even try to reduce and limit the calls to only a certain elect. But I believe that God calls everyone. And everyone must respond to that call. But here in Romans chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Now, when the Word of God uses those terms, basically He's talking about all of humanity. when he says both Jews and Gentiles, there's no one left out. Everybody's going to be included in that, in one of those two groups. So therefore, God wants to call all men unto Him. Now, I trust that those of us who are here this evening have responded to that call in your life. There's been a moment when you've said, yes, I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to respond to that call. Yet, we find so many that have heard the call and have rejected it. But then there's also the question of how many have not heard that call yet. Because the call is to everyone. Now, it's not that it's not being made to them. It's just that they haven't heard it yet. They're deaf, so to speak. Scripture says they're blinded even. But the other type of call that God gives to mankind is not just the call of salvation, but once you've responded to the call of salvation, as children of God, there's another call. And I'll use the term here, a call to repentance, but it's also going to be considered a call to correction, a call of discipline. As a Christian, I still commit sin. As a child of God, I still have a carnal nature. And when I sin as a child of God, just like I as a father bring attention to my children when they have sinned, my Heavenly Father brings it to my attention. And He calls me. He rebukes me. He lets me know He's not happy with what I'm doing. Now you think, well, I don't get that much. Let's be honest. All of us have a carnal nature. All of us sin. And all of us can hear the Holy Spirit talking to us and saying, what you did was wrong. Thank the Lord for that. That's one of the best calls we could have. We need the call of repentance upon our life. We need to be confessing daily. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Here is talking to one of the seven churches. And in one of these churches, he gives them a call to repentance because they are having problems. Now, as you notice here, he's not just calling people, but even calling churches. You know, we as a corporate body, Metropolitan Baptist Church, have calls upon us also. We're receiving them during this missions conference as these missionaries come before us. It's a call that God is giving to us. And we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what do You want us to do? But in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9, He says, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Now the term rebuke means that He calls our attention to the problem. One of the things that I learned as a father when I was disciplining my children, it does no good to discipline them without making them understand why I'm disciplining them. They've got to recognize their sin. Now, a lot of times they say, well, then why are you disciplining them? Sometimes discipline makes you recognize sin. You've got to open your eyes. You know, a lot of times we think that, well, I'm seeing everything. No, not always. Sometimes God has to do what the proverbial man with... There was two farmers... years ago that one of them had a mule and he wanted to sell the mule to another farmer. And as they were making the deal, they were talking about it, and the buyer was asking the seller, well, does this mule work, do a lot of good work? Does he pull a plow? Oh, yeah. Man, this is the best mule you ever saw. He'll work all day long. And after a little while, they decided, okay, we'll do the deal. And the new buyer bought the mule. The next day, he went out to the field and hooked up the plow to the mule and, okay, let's get going. And the mule walked about 20 paces and balked and just stood there. Wouldn't move a lick. And that farmer tried everything. Man, he got a whip out. Nothing was working. He was hollering at him. Finally, he just left the mule sitting there in the field and went back to the seller and said, look, you were wrong. You sold me a bad mule. It's not just a minute. He said, let me show you what's going on. And they walked out back to the field. On the way, he picked up a big 2x4. And when he got up there in front of that mule, he took that 2x4 and hauled back and hit that mule right between the eyes as hard as he could. And they went, let's go. And the mule started going. He says, well, what does that mean? He says, all you do is got to get his attention. You got to wake him up. Well, does God that come to us once in a while? He hits us between the eyes with a big 2x4 to get our attention when he's been trying to tell us the whole time. It hasn't been that he's not been trying to call us. He's been using a lot of methods. We're just sitting there like that mule, so obstinate we can't even... So concentrated on ourselves that we don't realize that God is trying to talk to us. But there's another type of call that God gives, and it's the call to service. And a lot of times here, they want to say, okay, that's the one that we're talking about. That's the one for the missionaries and the preachers and everyone else. I'm exempt from that one because I know that God did not call me to be a preacher. And that's wrong too. Because every single believer in Jesus Christ has a call to service. And it's not just that we're going to find it in Scripture, because it does. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, we find that this is very evident, that everyone is being called to serve Him. And let's read that verse first. But it's also very logical. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, which was our text. Who hath saved us. Okay, here's the first one. He saved us, right? And then what? And called us. Okay, if He saved us, what's He going to do? He's going to call us also. And called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, God could have taken us to heaven the moment we got saved. And you know, it would have been better. Wouldn't it be a lot nicer to be up there right now? Now, a lot of us say, well, I'm not ready for it yet. Well, wait a minute. Let's not fall into this trap. We look at our life, we think it's so important. But do you understand how much better heaven really is? You've never really understood the concept of heaven because you think your life is so good. And it's like I travel around the world and I deal with a lot of cultures and everything. And you know what? When people are ignorant of what the rest of the world is like, they're pretty happy where they're at. They think that things are where they're... And they want... It's not that they don't want to improve. They always want to have something better within their own culture. But they have no idea. Let me give you an example. I was just in Cuba 3 weeks ago. And one thing about Cubans is they have a meat that is called the forbidden meat. I'm not joking. I have met Cubans that have never eaten a piece of beef in their entire life. In that country, the government has a stranglehold on the production of beef. If a farmer has a cow, that's all he's allowed. One. If the cow has a calf, he must give over either the cow or the calf to the government. He's only allowed one. And if that cow is being his, if he wants to kill it for the meat, he has to get a permit. If he kills the cow without the permit, the penalty is more than if he killed a person. Therefore, very few people have eaten beef. Now, I went one time out into a farm area. I was preaching in a little church. Before we had the church service, they fed us some meat. And there was a, watch out, don't say anything. What if it's forbidden meat? Well, what did they do? They killed the cow on the sly. And everyone was thinking. In fact, the main pastor of the main city nearby there, he says, how'd it go with you, that little country church? I said, I had a great time. Look what they fed us. They did. He said, I'm going with you tomorrow. And he did. Because to them, that's such a rare thing. Now, we look at that and say, that's crazy. Why? Look at our culture. For us, that's every day. How many of you had a hamburger today? I did. It was beef, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it had beef in it. I had a hamburger in Cuba. It was not beef. Ask my wife. We couldn't figure out what it was. We think it was soybeans or something else. It was not beef. It was the most horrible tasting thing I've ever had in my life. But wait a minute. They live in that culture and think, well, we're happy with what we've got. And they have no idea what it's like in the rest of the world. But that's the way it is with us in heaven. We have no idea what it's like. I'd love for us to understand what heaven truly is like. For us to really get into the Scripture and understand. But let's go back to this. I began talking about heaven because what? God could have taken us to heaven the moment we were saved. But He didn't. Well, why did He? Oh, He's going to punish us? No. Not that He's punishing us. He has a purpose for us. That's what He says here in this verse. He has a purpose for every one of you. The reason you're still here on this earth is because He has a purpose. My father is 83 years old. He's having a lot of health problems. A lot of times, as we're discussing things, he begins to wonder, you know, I am having such a hard time just living. And it frustrates him because he doesn't have as much ministry as he used to have. And I stop and say, well, wait a minute, Dad. Now, just a second. How many other preachers call you in a week? Well, I don't know. I said, how about from Mexico, the men that you discipled? Well, I get 2 or 3 or 4 a week, uh-huh. And how many American pastors call you? Well, I get 5 or 6. So you get at least 1 or 2 a day? Yeah. And what are you doing when you do that? Well, I talk to them. And that's not ministry? God's not using you there? Well, I guess so. I says, God's not finished with you yet. Doesn't matter if you're in bed. You can still pray. You can still have a ministry. Every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ has got to be involved. And that's the purpose of this week. The question we're going to be asking you constantly this week is, what are you doing to be involved? Did God really call you just to go to work every week, every day? Is that the main purpose of you living here on this earth? Just to fulfill your employment responsibilities, get the paycheck and go home and then do other... That is the secondary thing. Yes, we have to work. The Lord told us that we're going to have to, by the sweat of our brow, earn our bread. But we earn that bread to do what with it? Then to turn around and use it for God's glory. Now that means that every one of us not. Well, I can get rid of my calling is going to be very simple. I got to give an offering every week, or every 2 weeks, or every month. That's it. No, it's a lot more than just that. If that's all you think it is, then you have not really heard God's call. So if we talk about these three types of calls, the call of salvation, the call of repentance, and the call of service, every one of us has it. Every one of us will hear this evening. But the question is, how are we responding to it? And throughout Scripture, we can find so many examples, so many exhortations about responding to God's call. That is the most important thing that you can do in your life. It depends on your happiness on this earth. You realize that? How you respond to God's call will determine your joy. Now, I have a list of several different ways of responding. But the first one I hear is the one that we're going to be talking about here during the missions conference. Is there's so many don't even hear God's call. You ever thought of that? They're blinded. They're deaf, so to speak. Brother Bruce Moore here is going to go to Uruguay, and he wants to have a deaf ministry there. He's going to talk. He wants to take the gospel to those who can't hear. Does that mean they don't have a call upon their life? Of course they do. Just because you don't have ears to hear with doesn't mean that you can't hear God's call. But the problem is, it's not getting out enough. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord was so anxious for His people, the Israelites, to hear His call upon them, that He was willing to use every method He could. You ever thought of that? He didn't just use the Bible or even the prophets that are among them. It says here He was willing to use from other tongues. He even had kings that were not even believers that He used to communicate the messages that he had. It was amazing what the Lord tried to do. And we go through Scripture, and you know, I look at Scripture, and one thing that fascinates me is that, yes, the writers of Scripture were all God's people. I believe they all had to be believers for the Holy Spirit to speak to them. But there's one chapter in the Bible that intrigues me more than other. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar wrote a chapter in the book of Daniel. Do you know that? One of the chapters of the book of Daniel was not written by Daniel. It was written by Nebuchadnezzar when God inspired him to write a portion of Scripture. God can use anything He wants to call us. He can use sometimes. What would you think if we had missionaries coming to the United States? You know that might happen someday. There was a time when the greatest missionary sending country of the world was England, about 200 years ago. They were doing some of the... You know what's happening today, right? Now we're sending missionaries there. God forbid. But the way our country is going, it might happen that God's going to have to send others to preach to us. But He's going to do it every way He can, because we are not listening. That's what's happening in our nation. But if it's happening here, it's also happening around the world. That's what the Lord was concerned about there in the chapter 3 of Revelation with the church at Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Here's this church that was lukewarm. But the problem, the reason they were lukewarm was they weren't listening. They couldn't hear God's calling to them. And I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In other words, you think you know everything. Basically, what this church, the problem it had is, we got it all. We've got it together. We're going to tell everyone else how to do it, because we're the best. When really what? You're nothing. How many times have we fallen in that trap? Well, we don't even know that God's trying to talk to us. We think, well, that's why we have missions. We're going to take the gospel to all these people who have never heard. Praise the Lord. What about around us that never heard? What about ourselves? How many times God's trying to talk to us and we won't even listen? Or, the other way to respond is we hear it, but we just ignore it. You know, have you ever been in those situations? This happens a lot in families, right? When you know that they can hear you, but they still walk all around and they act like they never heard. Children do this with the parents. Wives and husbands. Let's be honest, this happens once in a while. We act like, if I don't say anything, he won't realize that I even heard that. You think you do that to God? We do that all the time. He tries to talk to us and think, what? You're talking to me, God? I never heard you. When we did, we just ignored him. 1 Kings chapter 12. We find here a king, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. This was a man that God tried to talk to him about some things. God gave him some good counsel. He had some men that were giving him the right thing to do. And what did he do? He listened to him, told him, well, you know, in 3 days I'll get back to you. But he already made his decision. He already knew what he was going to do. And it was ignore exactly the counsel he'd received. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 15. 1 Kings 12, 15 says, wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, it wasn't that he didn't hear. He heard it all right. He just decided to ignore it. He decided to take his own path. He decided to do what he wanted to do. And instead of trying to help the people, he decided to put more oppression upon them. And because of what he did, the kingdom divided. And to this day, we're still seeing the results of this one decision right here. Do you understand the repercussions of what happens when God calls you and you don't respond properly? Do you realize that one small call upon your life can affect the future of all history? That's how important it is. I can give you the example of this in the book of Acts. In the books of Acts, chapter 7, chapter 9. Book of Acts, chapter 9. Verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Here, Saul has just arrived in Damascus. If you remember, on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. He got saved, and he also got called. He got called to service all at the same time. Remember, he was blinded by what happened on the road to Damascus. And here we're going to find a man that's only mentioned one time in Scripture. But look how important it is. Acts 9:10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. This is the call that God gave to Ananias. What was he supposed to do? How long was it going to take him to do this? You ever thought of this? It wasn't going to take long. He had to go down the street, find this man, put his hands on him so he might be healed. It might have taken him 15, 20 minutes, at most several hours. It wasn't a major task. It was a dangerous task. And I said, Lord, I heard about this man. He's here to kill us. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Just go and do it. And Ananias obeyed. What if he'd not obeyed? We probably wouldn't have had the Apostle Paul. We probably would have had one half of the New Testament not written. If we really study, because the Apostle Paul, he took the gospel to the Gentiles. He took the gospel westward. We probably would not be here tonight if it weren't for Ananias. Think about this one thing that God gave Ananias is still giving fruit today, almost 2,000 years later. So it is with everything that God calls us in service. It's important. And if we ignore it, what are we doing? Well, the other way we could do it is we could give excuses. In Exodus chapter 4, we find that God called Moses at a burning bush. Like, you know, if we start looking at calls, we're not going to run out of examples. We could be here for days and days looking at all the times that God called people throughout Scripture. Men and women, children, elderly people, everybody was being called. But here in Exodus chapter 4, God has been calling Moses. Now, I started way back in chapter 3. It's been a long call. Why? Well, every time God said to do something, Moses had an excuse. And this is the third way that we respond when we get a call many times. We give excuses. We say, Lord, I can't do that because... And here we go. And in some ways, Moses has some pretty good reasons. Just like our reasons sound like, very logical. One of those was that, oh, I can't speak. They're not going to listen to me. Who is the authority that gives it to me? I go through all the different reasons, all the different excuses. That would take us an hour just to study Moses' excuses. But here in verse 13, Moses did the ultimate. This is what made God mad. Exodus 4:13. And he said, O my Lord, I pray thee, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send somebody else. Don't send me. Send somebody else. And it says, verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Do you want to get God angry? Give excuses when he calls you to sin. You know why God is going to punish those that do not get saved? Because they have given excuses to not receive His Son as their Savior. You realize at the great white throne of judgment, we're going to hear a lot of excuses. But why is God going to be angry? Because He gave us the chance and we refused it. Anyone who does not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior has no excuse. In some situations, we not only give excuses, we turn around and we attack it. You know, that's the saddest of all. When you receive God's call, not only do you not want to do it, you attack God over it. How dare you tell me what to do? You think that's not prevalent in our society today? How many times have we sat here somebody, nobody tells me what to do. I'm my own boss. How dare you try to change my mind? You know, when I hear that, I think, this person is on really dangerous ground. Because they not only do not want to listen to God's call, they want to attack God's call. Not only that, but they want to not just attack God's call upon themselves, they want to attack God's call on anyone else too. They don't want anyone else to hear. No wonder God's going to be with such great judgment. It's a sad thing. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, God is so loving. God is always going to listen to us. God is always so good. I want you to read a verse in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 26. I want you to notice what God's going to do to those who do not listen to His call. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 26. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, O my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is God talking. He says, I've extended my hand. I've tried to call you. What did you do? You rejected it. Yeah, doesn't it? And what's okay then? You'll be that way? When you've got trouble, what am I going to do? I'm going to laugh at you. Can you imagine that when you're in trouble and God sits there and laughs at you? Could God do that? Well, that's what Scripture says. He says, I gave you the chance. You know, sometimes it's kind of, as a parent, I do that with my children sometimes. I mean, you know, I told you to do that, now you know. It's almost like, you know, you have a chuckle, don't you? I tried to tell you, you don't listen to me. You know, God does the same thing to us. I don't want ever God to say, I gave it to you, but now you refuse me. That's it. How horrible would it be when God tries and tries and tries to communicate with us, to call us, and after call, you know, after a while, if you're trying to get a hold of somebody and you try and try, and finally you realize they don't want anything to do with me, what do? You give up? You finally say, okay, they don't want to talk to me, I won't talk to them. Do you think God ever gets to that point? So I've tried. I've done everything I could to get a hold of you. And you've told me, I don't want anything to do with you. That's why God says, okay then. And Scripture does talk about that. About people that God finally says, okay, go your own way. Your heart is heart. And then But there's one other response. And this is the blessed one. That's when we accept God's call upon our life. We just say, okay, whatever it is. We saw that with Ananias a moment ago, didn't we? He said, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? And God, he said, Lord, this is kind of a dangerous. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Okay, Lord. Thank the Lord, he obeyed. In Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 42. If there's anyone that gives us an example of saying, I'll do it, it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is in the garden. For the second time, he's going before his Father to pray. He knows what's coming. If anyone had a call to do something that was difficult, it was our Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew what was going to happen on that cross. And now he's facing that. He's gone before his Father and said, can you pass this cup? The answer is, well, there's no other option. Got to do it. So how does he respond? Matthew 26, 42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Can we take the same example and say, thy will be done? You know, that's a very beautiful phrase. Ever think about it? When we go before our Lord, say, thy will be done. Whatever you want in me, I'll do it. I don't care what it is. Go to a place that's very dangerous. We heard here Brother Bishop a moment ago say, well, if I'm in where God wants me to do, I'm bulletproof. You know, you could be in the safest place on earth, but if it's out of God's will, it's the most dangerous place to be. But if you're in the place where God's will is at, doesn't matter. If he says, well, you're going to die, doesn't matter. You know, that means he says, okay, it's time for me to go to heaven. Was it a mistake that Stephen died? No, it's part of God's plan. Because God used it in a mighty way to spread the gospel even greater. You know, over the years, I've heard about martyrs that have given their lives for the Lord, and I began to understand, you know, when they did that, the result of their ministry was much greater than if they'd lived. You know, back in 1956, in Ecuador, five missionaries were killed by the Alca Indians. A very famous story, For Grace of Splendor, has been written a book about it. A lot of things, and we had the airplane I had in Honduras was the same model of airplane that they use in that situation there. So it's always been a story that fascinated me. It happened a few months before I was born. At that time, it was a major international news story. It was in all the newspapers. It was in Life magazine. The whole world knew about these five missionaries that were killed by savages in Ecuador. And everyone talked about it. And there were young men with wives and young children. And everyone was going on and on about it. I wish today we'd have the same thing. We hear about a country music concert where everyone is killed and over 50. And that makes the whole nation mourn. But do we mourn about Christians that are getting killed in other parts of the world? But really, at that time, it was God's plan. It is estimated that 5,000 young people surrendered to become missionaries because of the story of those five men. 5,000 missionaries. Was it worth it for them to die? Of course it was. They never could have multiplied themselves that way. God used what happened to them to glorify Himself. So whatever it is, whatever God calls us to do, the question tonight is, what is God calling you to do even tonight? Because every one of us has a call. It could be a call of salvation. It could be a call of repentance. It could be a call of service. I don't know what it is, because that's between you and God. But the question is not what the call is. The question is, how are you responding to it? Because there's only one. thy will be done. Father, I pray that even now you would take what we've heard this evening. You would take the Word of God that we've studied. You would take the Holy Spirit that is calling even at this moment. And I know, Father, that in our hearts we're giving excuses. We're thinking that, no, that's not for me. We're trying to use a lot of different ways to respond. But may we understand that there's only one way we can respond to the touch that you're giving us at this moment. It is, thy will be done. May we hear God's people, even the ones that are here among our voice, saying, God's will be done. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a song of invitation. Brother John, what number are we going to sing?
155.
Number 155, if you stand, please. As we stand, we'll sing this hymn of invitation. As God is calling you, and you want to respond, there's a place for you to do it. You can respond at this very moment to what God's calling you to do. Do it right away. Don't wait around. Do it on the very first verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Brother Bruce preached, I believe with all my heart, every single one of us in this room tonight has a calling on us. Just the very preaching of the Word of God is a calling. It's a challenge. It's calling for a reaction, a choice. Are we going to move ahead with God? Are we going to follow Him? Whatever His calling, whatever His challenge to us would be. Again, whether young or old, boy or girl, man or woman, we can all, as Brother Bruce shared this evening, we're all involved in this work. And I challenge you this evening, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Use me, Father. Use me with that neighbor. Use me with that family member, father, mother, son, daughter. Use me, Father, and that person that I work with. And it may be there's some here that God's calling and dealing with concerning service. As Brother Bruce shared, we're privileged to have six different missionary families out of our church. What an honor, what a privilege. But when is it too many? When are we sending too many? When are we involved in sending too many? As long as God keeps sending, we'll be glad to sponsor and send. Please, please, obediently respond to that call. The question is, how will we respond? Amen? Let's say.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power
Well, thank you, Brother Bruce, for being obedient to the Lord tonight. Appreciate that word very much. And look forward to what God's going to do. Just a beginning, and it's a good beginning. So please, please be in your place. You know, I know I've said this so many times, but please bear with me. I think we all understand and agree that we're accountable, as Bruce preached this evening, accountable for what we've heard. But an old North Carolina mountain preacher one time said that we're also accountable for what we could have heard. Boy, that was like a knife to my heart. I'm accountable for what I could have heard. What was he saying? God's going to serve up another message tomorrow night from his word. Might just be what I need to hear. Huh? We need to be where God would have us to be. Amen. Been good. Been good. We're thankful for everybody. But those ladies, man, I'll tell you what. They said they was gonna go on tour, cut a record. I said, I think I'll invest in it. It was beautiful, ladies. Thank you so much. It was great. It's been a good night. We're thankful for God's mercy to us. Please, please go home praying tonight. In fact, before we break up, I'm just impressed that my heart, talking to Miss Tammy earlier, she's in a lot of pain, folks. She spent all day in bed. She got up out of the bed to go be with her mother through the night tonight. Would you please, as you lay down your head tonight, please be in prayer for Miss Tammy, for her mama. And as we break up this evening, let's go to the throne of grace. Father, we thank you tonight for that place that you've bid us to come. Given us that beautiful open invitation. Come to your very throne with those things that are upon our heart. Lord, we rejoice in the privilege, the honor that is ours to be involved in this thing we call missions. The work of Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth, the gospel. Well, what an honor, what a privilege for a people, for a church, and for each one of us as individuals. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would use us. Father, use us as witnesses and examples unto Christ. Lord, this evening, as we just mentioned, I'm asking you to do for Sister Tammy. Do for her mama tonight. Lord, I know my sister's hurting. She's struggling. And I just pray, Father, would you minister to her physically? Would you minister to her soul or spirit? And Father, encourage her. I'm praying, as I prayed with her earlier, Lord, would you turn that hospital room into a holy place. Place of fellowship with you tonight. Pray that her and her mother would enjoy your presence through the night. God, I pray you'd go with our church family. Please bless each one. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, you can stop and see the displays in the back. Visit with our missionaries that are with us this week.